Welcome to the Plan B CRNA podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Jones, and I'm so excited that you're here. The Plan B CRNA podcast is the only show made specifically for nurse anesthetists who are exploring options outside of their traditional career paths. This is the place to expand your mind and your goals as we uncover new ways to produce side income together. Journey with me as I go down various rabbit holes to explore the best Plan B options for you. This episode is brought to you by OnCall Capital. OnCall Capital is dedicated to educating CRNAs and other healthcare providers about investing outside of the traditional stock market. OnCall Capital also provides opportunities for you, yes, you, to create passive income and generational wealth while also lowering your taxable income through investments in the apartment and alternative investment spaces. If you haven't hit subscribe yet, make sure you do that right now so that you don't miss an episode. Thanks so much for joining me today. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the rabbit hole on the Plan B CRNA podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Jones. Throughout my own journey in finding a Plan B, I've gone down numerous rabbit holes to figure out which ones work for me. And since I've done some of this research already, I only think it's right to bring that information to fellow healthcare professionals to help aid in your search. Now, as always, it's important for you, the listener, to do your own research and form your own opinions. Everyone's situation is unique, and a Plan B that works for one CRNA doesn't always work for another. Self-awareness is the key in any decision you make, since you must have an accurate grasp of your own strengths, weaknesses, and goals. All right, let's get to it. Without further ado, our rabbit hole for the day is dun-dun-dun, meal prep businesses. Okay, so today's Thanksgiving, so obviously I have food on the mind. I love to cook for my own family and enjoy great meals with them. But sometimes it's just nice to put it on autopilot and have something that's pre-made or takeout. And there are plenty of other people who are getting catered side dishes and meals for the holiday today, which, of course, got me thinking, what is it like to start up a meal prep service? I've seen plenty of advertisements for HelloFresh and Blue Apron, but I've also heard of much smaller operations that folks run out of their homes. So what does it look like to get this started? What are reasonable startup costs and profit margins to expect? How labor intensive is the whole project? Sounds like it's time to jump into the rabbit hole. I would like to start off today by talking about the opportunity here, though. According to a survey conducted by the global business consulting giant McKinsey, millennials are 6 times more likely to find new brands more innovative. They're also 400% more likely to avoid purchasing from big brands than their parents. According to a Pew Research study from 2015, the proportion of dual income earner married couples more than doubled between 1960 and 2000, from 25% to 60%. Those numbers remain high today. The rise of dual income households means that families have less time to spend on their homes, leading to the boom that we've seen in landscaping, cleaning companies, and yes, takeout slash meal prep businesses. And it just makes sense, right? After working a long day, it's easier to just get something to go or pull something easy out of the freezer. And a meal prep delivery business can be very profitable. With profit margins much higher than those of restaurants, you can make a comfortable living with much lower monthly sales. But there are several factors that go into just how much profit you can make from these kinds of ventures. The easiest way to break it down is to put it into an hourly wage. Now, this amount's not necessarily going to wow you listeners out there, but you can make between $20 to $50 an hour with your own meal prep business. There are 3 main categories to consider when thinking about operations and profits: expenses, sales, and efficiency. So let's talk about each one briefly. Number one, expenses. Keeping your expenses low is crucial to profitability. There are some main ways to do this in the beginning: working out of your own home kitchen, not having employees, minimizing your food waste. As you begin to scale up, you can think about upgrading your home kitchen to a state-licensed commercial kitchen. If it's in your home, that means you don't have to pay rent for it. Okay, but you also have to consider that if you're cooking things out of your home, inspectors are probably going to have to come in and look at the conditions too. So renting a space from a commercial kitchen might work out better in the beginning too. If you don't have employees, this means that you're ultimately responsible for picking up any slack and working any extra hours that are required. But having employees provides its own set of challenges and expenses that you may want to avoid in the beginning. Also in the beginning, you'll probably want to take orders first and then shop for the ingredients that you need. This is an advantage over restaurants, and it increases your profit margins because you can eliminate a lot of food waste. Now, number two is sales. You will need to figure out what your break-even total weekly sales target is in order to make your minimum salary and cover household needs. Whether that's $20, $30, or $50 an hour is up to you, but you want to make sure that you provide yourself with a buffer in case things change along the way. It's nice to have a number that you can hit comfortably and regularly surpass by at least 30 to 50%. You also may want to think about taking on a small marketing budget to reach out to potential clients. This would be part of a larger promotion strategy and may take the form of Google Ads, email marketing, or social media pages that develop better customer relationships. Number three is efficiency. Now, this is the real moneymaker, the one thing that creates a wide variance between those hourly rates. Efficient systems can save you time during your work week. The efficiency pain points are designing menus that work together, taking orders, creating shopping lists, managing clients, shopping for ingredients, cooking itself, packaging, delivery, and bookkeeping. Scaling can affect your profitability in the sense that it can complicate your operations and add costs and limit flexibility along the way. However, this is also the place where efficient systems can really make all the difference. Sure, you'll have to increase sales as you scale up to make up for those added expenses, but you may be able to design things so that you have employees doing most of the cooking and delivery while you focus solely on running the business. Just keep in mind that slow weeks can hurt a lot more at a larger scale than at a smaller scale. Now, to really get started in the meal prep business, first you need to choose a niche. Perhaps you already have one. Maybe your family is originally from Greece and you grew up on your grandma's recipes. Maybe your dad has health problems and you've been cooking diabetic-friendly meals for him for a couple of years. Or maybe you're just tired of trying to find keto meals on your own and you've decided to dive into making them yourself. The opportunities are out there for so many different specialties. After you choose your niche, then you need to figure out your business model. There are three main options. The meal kit delivery model has been made popular by companies such as HelloFresh and Blue Apron. With this business model, customers purchase meal kits on an on-demand and subscription basis. In subscriptions, customers can select how many kits they want per week or month. This model can work well for folks who want to save time on meal planning, shopping, and preparing. It also gives customers a chance to explore exciting new recipes on their own. Now, the second one is a goal-oriented delivery model. So many people have special diets or specific health goals. This business model utilizes pre-made fresh meals that cater to a particular niche client base. Some samples of goal-oriented meals for customers are diabetic-friendly meals, gluten-free meals, low-sodium meals, low-fiber meals, low-uric acid meals, vegan meals, and the list goes on and on. You can also get into the fitness realm with lean protein meals, high-carb meals, and the like. Companies like Magic Kitchen and Fresh and Lean have centered their businesses on the goal-oriented delivery model. And many of these meals require a longer prep time and more expense for daily consumption. Customers can subscribe to week or month-long deliveries, which tend to be more affordable than one-time orders. Customers also benefit in all of the normal ways, but also they're being health conscious without having to think so hard about it now. And then lastly, pre-cooked storable meal delivery model. This business model is the one that is actually most preferred by consumers since they can't always be home to accept delivery of meal kits with raw ingredients. Pre-cooked frozen meals aren't exactly new. Companies like Healthy Choice and Smart Ones have been around for decades in the freezer aisle of your local grocery store. But the cool thing is that you can adapt most recipes and meals to a frozen option. Meal preservation and preparation require minimal effort on behalf of the customer, and the meals can possibly last longer. Many meals can be delivered at one time, which is more suitable for customers with busy lifestyles. Now, as you can probably figure out, there are plenty of ways to mix and match these three models. You can deliver pre-cooked frozen meals that are vegetarian, or you can deliver heart-healthy meal kits to patients with cardiac dietary needs. Heck, you can even start as a bit of a personal chef, cooking in clients' homes if that's the route you want to take to begin building your customer base. Essentially, you need to have a business plan that caters to the products that you want to deliver, that takes advantage of your own culinary skill set and helps your particular client base. Part of this is also selecting how you want customers to engage with your products. Most companies start the same way, cooking from a primary residence for family and friends. Are you going to start working out of your home kitchen with plans to later prepare food at a commercial kitchen in town? Will you eventually have a small storefront for customers to pick up meals? Or will you deliver or ship the food yourself? Do you plan to rely on word-of-mouth advertising? Or will you purchase some ads online or locally? It's a lot to think about. Now, after you've selected your business name and model, you'll need to outline the legal structure of your business entity. Will you be a sole proprietorship or a general partnership, an LLC or a corporation? If you're planning to hire employees, you'll also need an employer identification number or EIN for tax purposes. You may want some legal assistance with this one, so don't be afraid to consult a business attorney or tax expert to determine what's actually right for you. Taking these steps can also open up your business to additional small business funding through lines of credit, startup funding, equipment financing, or business credit cards. And don't forget about that business bank account that you need to set up too. The next step is licensing and permits. Yes, this is the boring stuff, but it's necessary to make sure you have all of the proper licenses, permits, and insurance that you need. You may want to check with your local chamber of commerce to make sure about specific requirements. Since you're handling and distributing food, you can expect a significant number of hoops to jump through. You may need a sales privilege license, food handler's license, catering license, health department permits, or zoning permits. All of these costs need to be factored into your business plan. Now, after you get all of that squared away, it's time to find and manage your supplies. You'll need pots, pans, plates, an oven and a stove, as well as a lot of refrigerated storage space. You'll need to have an idea of how much inventory you need on hand at any given time. Buying food in bulk from a wholesaler is a great way to save overall, but watch out for too much food waste in the beginning. You may be able to work with local farmers and suppliers for fresh in-season ingredients and meats as an alternative. If you're shipping meals, you'll need packaging and shipping materials as well. Now, you're probably thinking at this point, okay, but how much is this going to cost me? Well, you can start your own meal prep business for as little as $1,000 or as much as low six figures. But the true costs are likely going to be somewhere in between that. Most of the figures that I've seen are between $5,000 to $25,000. Now, renting a kitchen space from a commercial kitchen is actually the most cost-effective move in the beginning. Later on, you may decide to create your own home commercial kitchen space or spend money on a better website, professional pictures, or online advertising, but those aren't really necessary right out of the gate. Make sure you keep access to some kind of funds for at least 3 to 6 months worth of expenses before you just start making it rain out there. So this is the point in the episode. I want to take a look at the pros and cons of having your own meal prep business. Let's take a look at a few of these in an alternating fashion. Pro, it's a simple business model. Launching and building this type of business is really pretty seamless once you get a lot of that red tape figured out. Con, it's also a crowded space. Competition is high, so you must spend plenty of time analyzing the market and understanding where demand in your area actually lies. Pro/con, low startup costs. This makes it easier to start the business, but it also makes it easier for other competitors to enter into the space as well. Pro, flexibility. You can put as much or as little time into this business as you like, deciding to start small and keep it small if you want to. You can design your business to work around the other busy parts of your life. Con, lack of benefits or safety net in general. If you're doing this on the side, then this part isn't really too much of a big deal. But if this is full time for you, then you have to find your own insurance, which could be costly, and you may not receive a constant paycheck early on. I read about one successful company where the two founders didn't actually take a paycheck for 2 years. Pro, enjoyment. You get to do something that hopefully you really enjoy. This can make work seem lighter than it would otherwise. Con, high overhead expenses. There are overhead expenses that come with selling any type of physical product. And while you can properly budget for this, you may have some growing pains if you've never done this before. Pro, you can start your business from home. It's not necessary to have a physical storefront or an office space to get started. Con, taxes. As a meal prep business, you often pay self-employment taxes, which can be pretty high. Make sure you discuss your situation with an accountant to determine if the work you're taking on is actually worth it. Pro, high margins. Business margins for meal prep businesses are typically around 35% or higher, which allows you to grow and manage costs more easily. Con, building trust. It can be a challenge to build a client base that trusts you. If you're basing your company on referrals, you'd better make sure your product is good, since you can lose trust twice as fast as you build it. Pro, scalability. The business world is constantly evolving, meaning that you will have constant demand for new products and services. You have the ability to systematize your processes and shift business models to allow you to reach many different types of customers and grow your business. Con, trading time for money. Now, y'all know that this is one of my big ones. If you're going to trade one job for another, then it had better be something that you're passionate about doing. Because if you're not working, then you're not making money. I hope this gives you a better idea about what to expect when opening your own meal prep business. You can make this as small or grand of a venture as you want to, depending on the problem that you're trying to solve in your own community. I found tons of great information when researching this topic. You'll find that information linked in the show notes. And if you'd like more information on the topic, check out Stacy Davis's website, www.foodbusinesspros.com. Stacy and his wife, Angela, have had their own meal prep business for 15 years, and they provide great information on a variety of topics related to the meal prep business. As always, I'd like to thank you for listening to the Plan B CRNA podcast. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you hit subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. I'd also like to hear from you. If you have a question, comment, or rabbit hole topic that you'd like me to cover in an upcoming show, make sure you rate and review on your podcast player. I check those all the time, and I cover those questions in future episodes. If you'd like to connect with me or learn more about OnCall Capital, make sure to find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or visit my website at www.oncallinvestments.com. Until next time, this is Bobby Jones signing off. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Plan B CRNA podcast. If you haven't already subscribed and reviewed the show, I'd be honored if you took the extra time. It really helps to expand our reach and get the word out about the show. If you're a CRNA who is interested in sharing your story on our podcast, I'd love to have you. Please email me at bobby@oncallinvestments.com for more information. This episode was brought to you by OnCall Capital. They are dedicated to helping providers like you develop passive income and generational wealth through investments in the apartment and alternative investment spaces. Feel free to check out their website at www.oncallinvestments.com and subscribe to their free educational email series. You can find OnCall Capital on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our YouTube page, where you'll find all of the show episodes along with other educational videos. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.